Turn with me to the Gospel of John and the fourth chapter. The Gospel of John and the fourth chapter is where we'll be for this Sunday morning. John chapter number 4, and when you find your place, if you want to stand, we'll encourage you to do that. We'll read a few verses together from the end of the chapter. We'll begin our reading in verse 43 and read down through the rest of the chapter. And then we'll have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. John chapter number 4 and verse number 43. Now, after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus said to him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said to him, Yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus had said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Father, I ask you to help us as we try to preach this morning. God, use us in your service is our prayer. We pray in Christ's name, and amen. You can be seated. I have mentioned to you, as we have been preaching through the Gospel of John and studying through the Gospel of John on these Sunday mornings, how that it is interesting that the first several chapters of the Gospel of John begin with a great mountain peak, a great famous story in a chapter, and then the chapter closes with a smaller, less known story. For example, in chapter number 1, we have the beginning of creation. We have the beginning of John the Baptist. We have that great mountain peak of Scripture. And then we finish the chapter with the calling of the first 4 disciples. Chapter 2, we've got the famous story of Jesus turning the water into wine. And then we end the chapter with him cleansing the temple. Chapter 3, we go back on the mountain. And we've got that story with Nicodemus. And then the chapter ends with the dispute between Jesus or the disciples of John and the disciples of Jesus. And then finally, chapter 4, we begin with the great story of the woman at the well. And then the chapter ends with the healing of a nobleman's son. The story at the end of chapter number 4 is one of those smaller, maybe lesser known, maybe overlooked stories because the one that begins the chapter is so widely known. But what we'll discover in the end of this chapter is that there is a miracle that takes place. And in this miracle, we find a wonderful illustration of the power of prayer. It is unclear why Jesus determined to go back through Cana of Galilee. You'll remember that it was in Cana of Galilee in chapter 2 that Jesus performed that first miracle and he turned the water into wine. It could be that he is now going back through Cana of Galilee because he wanted to check up on those that had placed their faith in him there. According to the same chapter, Nathanael was from Cana, so maybe they were going back for personal reasons. It has even become evident at this early portion of the ministry of Christ that there was opposition to him that was growing in Judah and Jerusalem. And although he was from the tribe of Judah, never identified with them, they did not receive him. He was always the prophet from Galilee, not the prophet from Judah. And because of the opposition, maybe he was returning back to Galilee because according to verse 44 and verse number 45, they were receiving him there. It was more favorable for him there. While it could be that many of those things were the reason that he goes back through Cana, I believe that there is one reason certainly that he went back through Cana of Galilee, and that was the fact that a nobleman was there who had a sick child, and Jesus was going to heal this child. I want to preach for a few minutes on this thought: a determined father and a desperate prayer. A determined father and a desperate prayer. I'll show you three things from the scriptures quickly. Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to see the Father. I want you to see the Father. Verse number 46 says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." And that there's a lot we do not know about this nobleman. We do not know whether he was a high-ranking Jew or a high-ranking Roman. We do not know really whether he was Jew or Gentile. We do not know what his name was. But there's one thing we do know. We know that he was a father, and we know that he had a son that was sick. So sick, in fact, that he was to the point of death. And this sickness drove this man to Jesus Christ. In fact, I want you to notice that. Notice his need, the father's need. In verse number 4, it said that he had a son who was sick at Capernaum. From the very beginning, it is clear that this man is in a desperate place. He has a son that is sick, a son that is at the point of death. I have got to believe as a father that this man, being a father, did everything he could to help his son. Certainly he made every effort he could, probably every physician he could see. They probably tried every home remedy they could think of, and nothing seemed to help. This son was sick, and he was to the point of sickness that he was about to die. This man is at a desperate place. He has a desperate need. There's a real need in his life. It is interesting to me that this man did not seek Jesus until he got to this desperate place in his life. I think that's interesting. According to chapter number 2 and again in chapter 4, Jesus performed his first miracle at Cana of Galilee. And I'm sure that word had begun to circulate about the miracle that took place there at that wedding. That word had got around. Not only that, but the Galileans were there when Jesus cleansed the temple. And word of that had circulated. They had heard about Jesus cleansing the temple, professing that to be his father's house and a house of prayer. But none of those things, the miracle and the cleansing, none of those things brought this man to Jesus. But when his son became sick, when his son was at the point of death, he came seeking the Lord. Now I want to say something right here, and I want you to understand what I'm about to say. I want to say that there are times when God places things into our lives that cause us to seek him. I really believe that. I believe that God allows things from time to time in our lives that draw us and even drive us closer to the Lord. Now, you are no different than me, and so what I'm about to say about me, I know it applies to you because we're all human and we're all flesh, so it applies to you as well. If this life was always easy, if everything always worked out the way that we wanted it to, then it would be easy for us to allow our hearts to begin to drift from the Lord. Now that's just the truth, and you know it. If everything was always good, the sun was always shining, everything always worked out right, it would be easy to drift in those days. Therefore, the Lord, knowing what is best for our lives, sometimes allows a need, sometimes allows a struggle, sometimes allows a sickness into our life so that it draws us and it drives us into the presence of the Lord. The Carr family sings a song that said, "I wouldn't know your peace if it wasn't without hard times, or be thankful for relief without the pain. I wouldn't love the light if it were not for darkness, or appreciate the sun without the rain. How could I understand forgiveness without failure, or feel the warmth of love without the bitter cold? Or how could I hold your healing hand without affliction, or be blessed to see your mercies all unfold? It's sure a blessing to be safe, secure, and warm, but Lord, I want to thank you for the storm. And I believe that this man had a need in his life, and it was the need in his life that brought him into the presence of Jesus Christ. I'll say this too, just because I'm here and I think it's worth saying, the fact that this man had not sought the Lord until the need came did not keep the Lord from helping him or ministering to him. I point that out because I have had people say to me, and I guess I can somewhat understand this, but I can't understand this. I've had people say to me, "Preacher, I did not serve him in the past. I have not served him well, and therefore I have no right to ask him for his help now." The reality is this: you may not have served him well, you may not have served him right, but you can serve him now. And the fact that this thing in your life is bringing you to the Lord will not cast you away, not turn you away. God is willing to forgive, he's able to forgive, and he's able to bring you back into his presence. This father had a need. Not only do I see the father's need, but I see the father's willingness. Verse 46 says, "So Jesus came into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." When I read this text, there are a couple things that jump out at me. They are the faith of the father, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But they also notice the willingness on the part of the father to do whatever it takes to get what he needs from the Lord. According to verse number 46, he traveled from Capernaum into Galilee. The trip from Capernaum to Galilee was a 20-mile trip. 20 miles doesn't seem like a lot to you and me, but the truth is that this guy, he didn't have an SUV with air conditioner. He couldn't call an Uber to get him from Capernaum into Galilee. This was going to be a long, hot, maybe even unsafe journey, but he was willing to do whatever he had to do to get what he needed from the Lord. I've been thinking about something a lot lately, and I've been wondering really how serious we are sometimes about spiritual things. I mentioned this a Sunday or two ago, and I'll say it again. I wonder sometimes if we are really serious enough to get the thing that we need from the Lord, to do what it takes to get that thing. What I mean by that is this: would you be willing to give up a meal if it meant that you needed to just fast and pray instead? Would you be willing to give up your time? Would you be willing to inconvenience yourself in order to achieve what it is that you need to achieve or God wants you to achieve? I know that fasting isn't right for everybody because of medical purposes, but would you be willing to give up a meal and pray instead? Are you that serious about whatever it is that you need from the Lord? Are you that serious? Because if you're not that serious, I wonder sometimes really how serious we are. I wonder, would you be willing to miss out on some plans if somebody you knew that was in need, you could go and you could minister to them? Would you be willing to drop everything and go to them and help them and minister to them? How serious are we really about spiritual things? Would you be willing to risk a little bit of embarrassment if it meant that you could share Christ with someone, that you could give your testimony to somebody, that you could share the gospel with somebody? Or is the little bit of embarrassment and a little bit of fear bigger than the spiritual need that is in that life? Hey, what I'm saying is, I wonder sometimes how serious we are about spiritual things. This man was serious. He had to get to where Jesus was because the need in his life was bigger than the inconvenience in his life. I love this part of the story. The Bible says that when this man determined that he was going to do whatever it took to get to where the Lord was, the Bible said that while he did not know it, when he started heading from Capernaum toward Galilee, the Savior started heading from Judea into Galilee. This man didn't realize it and he didn't know it, but while he was headed in one direction, Jesus was headed in the other direction because Jesus was coming to meet him and to heal his son. I believe that this is the purpose. This is the reason that Jesus went into Galilee. While this man was heading to where Jesus was heading to where he was. You remember the beginning of chapter number 4. It's that story with the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. And the Bible said that Jesus made the statement that he must needs go through Samaria. You remember that, don't you? There was a woman there that he had to meet. There was a heavenly appointment that he had to get to. He had to get to Samaria because there was a woman that was going to be there that needed his help. And in like manner, Jesus was going back to Cana of Galilee because there was a man there that was going to need his help. Boy, I like this. I don't know what it is that maybe somebody's going through this morning. I don't know what your prayer is, what your need is, but I do know this. I know that when you get serious enough about that need, that you start heading in the Savior's direction. You may not realize it, but there's a Savior that begins to head in your direction. Amen. While you're headed His way, He's headed your way. Amen. You say, oh, I've got a need. I've got a situation. I've got a struggle. Well, can I encourage you? Draw nigh unto Him, and it will not be long before you realize that He is drawing nigh unto you. He was headed where Jesus was, and Jesus was headed where He was. Hey, I like that. I thought about Abraham. You remember as Abraham headed up Mount Moriah to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. He did not know what God was going to do on top of that mountain. All he knew was that God was Jehovah Jireh and that He would provide. He said, we're going to go worship and then we're coming back. Didn't have it all figured out. Didn't know exactly how the need was going to be met. But what he did not realize is that as he headed up one side of Moriah, there was a ram headed up the other side of Moriah, and God was headed in his direction. Hey, I'm saying, friend, if you've got a need, you start drawing close to him, and it won't be long before you realize he was headed in your direction. This man had a need, and he had a willingness to do whatever it takes to have that need met, and what he found was a Savior that was headed in his direction to meet the need that was in his life. Amen. Isn't that good? Hey, sometimes the path is long and sometimes the path is scary. Sometimes the storm is dark. But I am thankful that if we can look beyond the situation and we can look beyond the storm, we will see a Savior that is coming to our rescue. Amen. Boy, I'm glad for that. I see the Father. Not only do I see the Father, but I want you to notice, secondly, I want you to see the faith. I want you to see the faith. Verse number 47 says, and when he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went up to meet him and besought him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. This week as I studied this passage of Scripture, I tried to imagine the way that this nobleman felt. This man had a son that was very sick, obviously at the point of death. He hears reports of a prophet that is performing miracles. This prophet is claiming to be the Messiah. And so he gathers his things together. He does the only thing that he can, and he travels the 20 miles to where Jesus is located. Jesus is his last hope. Jesus is his only hope. This man is broken and he is desperate. And when he gets to Jesus and he asks him to come to his home and to heal his son, Jesus responds in verse 48 and said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now again, I'm trying to put myself in this man's shoes, understand what he felt. I think I am safe in saying that when Jesus responds in verse 48, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. I think I'm safe in saying things are not going the way that he planned on them going. I think I can say that. I believe that Jesus, he really believed that Jesus would come to his house. He really believed that Jesus would answer his prayer the way that he needed him to or wanted him to. I believe that he really expected Jesus to do some things. But when Jesus responds the way that he does, things aren't going the way maybe that he thought they were supposed to go. How many of you will be honest in saying that there have been times that you have desperately prayed for something? You, in that moment, had it all planned out. You knew what you needed Jesus to do. You knew the way that you needed him to do it. And so you started praying about it. And when you started praying about it, having it all figured out, there were times when Jesus did not do the thing you thought he should do in the way that you thought he should do them. You ever been like that? That's one of those mysteries that I'll be honest in saying I don't have it all figured out. I don't know why God sometimes miraculously answers prayers the moment that we pray them and sometimes he doesn't. I don't understand all of that. I do believe that God has a way of always answering prayers in the right timing, and we're too nearsighted to see it. We can just see what's happening right in front of us right now. But if we could look beyond that, God always does right and he always answers in the right timing. But when this conversation does not go the way he thinks it should be going, I want you to notice two things that he does. First of all, I want you to notice that he continues to pray. Things don't go the way that he thinks they should go, so he just keeps on praying. Verse 47, he comes down, his son's at the point of death. He asked Jesus to heal him. In fact, verse 47 says, he beseeches the Lord. He besought him. Verse 48, Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And notice what the nobleman does in verse 49. He said, sir, come down ere my child die. There's some debate as to what Jesus meant when he said, except you see signs and wonders. Many believe that he was not necessarily speaking to this man, but speaking to the crowd who had already got into the mode of seeing is believing, and that is not faith. Believing is seeing, that is faith. And so Jesus is addressing that. But this man, in verse 49, whatever the reason is, he will not let the obstacle stop him. He will not let these words stop him. He just keeps praying. He just keeps asking. He just keeps saying, I've got a son. I need you to come. This is the need that is in my life. He just kept on praying when things didn't go the way he expected them to go. I remember the story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter number 11. He tells the story about a friend who has a friend come at the midnight hour, and he doesn't have any bread to feed this midnight friend. And so he goes to his friend and he knocks on his door and said, I've got a friend that is and I need you to get up and lend me bread. I need you to lend me some loaves. And the man said, I'm in bed. I've got the lights off. I'm comfortable. But he just keeps on knocking. In fact, verse number 8 said, though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, yet for his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hey, what I'm trying to say is there are times when you pray and the answer may not immediately come. There are times when you may pray and nothing seems to change. You say, what should I do in that moment, preacher? Do not give up. Do not quit until you hear the Savior say no. You keep on seeking. You keep on knocking. You keep on asking. And it may be that he will arise and give you what you need. Just keep on praying. When things don't go the way you expect them to, keep asking the Lord. Keep asking the Lord. In Matthew chapter 15, there's a woman that has a demon-possessed daughter, I believe it is, and she comes to Jesus, and she said, I need you to heal my daughter. And the Scripture said, this is interesting, Brother Lee, the Scripture said that when she makes that request, Jesus answered her not a word. Things didn't go the way she expected them to go. But you know what she did? She just kept on praying. She kept on asking. She kept on seeking. And eventually Jesus said, it is not meet to give from the table what belongs unto the dogs. And she said, true, Lord, but the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. She kept on asking. And the Bible said she got down at his feet and started worshiping. And Jesus said, I've not seen this great faith in all of Galilee. And he healed her daughter and he cleansed her of those demons. I'm saying, when things don't go the way you need them to, or always expect them to go, keep on praying. Hey, keep praying for that prodigal that's in your home. Keep praying for the salvation of that loved one. Keep praying about that need in the church. Keep praying for revival in our country. Hey, things may not change right away, but keep on praying for those things. When things didn't go the way he expected them to, he kept on praying. When things didn't go the way he expected them to, he had faith. Verse number 49 said, come down ere my child die. Someone pointed out that even at this man's very best, there were mistakes with his prayer. His prayer has come down ere my child die. There's two mistakes in that. First of all, he made the mistake that thinking Jesus had to come to his house to heal his son. Jesus could speak the words and his son be healed. He also made the mistake of thinking that if his son died, all hope was lost. But we know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and even if his son did die, there was still hope. But even with the mistakes in his prayer, even with those mistakes, I love the fact that this man had as much faith as he could, and he believed the Savior to the best of his ability. Verse number 50, Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. He is not answering his prayer the way he wanted him to. His prayer was come down, and Jesus just says, go your way. But this man, the Bible says, leaves, he goes his way, believing the words that Jesus spoke unto him. When Jesus said, go home, your son is healed, the man left believing that his son was healed. You say, what am I supposed to do, preacher, when things don't go the way I expect them to? You keep on praying and you have faith. You just trust the Lord. You say, it's not working out the way I think it should. You just trust Him. He always does right. He always does right. The Bible says in Matthew 21, 22, in all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. You see, the reality is that we all not only need to pray, but we need to believe when we pray. Prayer is more than wishful thinking. It is more than positive thoughts. Prayer is calling on a powerful Creator God and asking Him to move on our behalf. Not only is it asking Him to move, but it is taking Him at His word that He will move. This man prayed and he believed when he prayed. Hebrews 11, 6 said, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want to slow down here and say something. It could be that this thing of faith is where you struggle. I know that sometimes that thing of faith where I struggle sometimes. And you say, preacher, I know that when I pray I'm supposed to have faith, but sometimes it's hard. That faith thing is hard, is it not? We want to see it. We want to plan it out. We want to, you know. Sometimes God just wants us to believe. But I want you to notice something in our text. This man doesn't get his prayer right. His faith isn't 100% right. He thought Jesus had to come. He thought if his son died, he all hope was lost. His faith wasn't 100%. But do you know what Jesus did? Jesus took the little bit of faith that he did have. And he accepted that, and he used it to do a miracle. You say, oh, preacher, I don't know if I've got that mountain-moving faith. You may not have mountain-moving faith. You may just have mustard seed faith. But God will take the faith that you have, if you give it to Him, and He'll do something with it. This man believed. This man believed. And Jesus healed his son. The Bible says in Matthew or Mark chapter number 9, a man comes to Jesus with a demon-possessed child. Jesus said unto him in verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father cried out, said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You just give God the faith that you do have, and God will do a miracle with it. All right, I see the Father, I see the faith. And let me show you this. Number 3, I see the fulfillment. Verse number 50 says, and Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. As the man is returning home, he is met by a servant with the good news that his son is alive. The father hears the good news. He asks when the boy began to amend, and the servant tells him the time. And when he gives him the time, he realizes that it was the exact same moment that Jesus spoke the words, thy son liveth. Notice two things, and I'll let you go. Notice in this text about the fulfillment that God not only answered his prayer, but God gave him more than he asked for. He got more than he asked for. He asked that his son be healed, but this man believed that healing of his son would have to take place gradually. Notice what he said, the man in verse number 52, when the servant met him and said, your son's going to be okay. This is what he said. He said, what hour did he begin to amend? That phrase amend means to gradually get better, to begin to get better. Little over little. He expected his son to get better just gradually over time. But notice what the servant said in verse 51. He did not use the word amend. This is what the servant said. Thy son liveth. You know what he was praying for? He was praying that his son would eventually begin to heal and eventually get better. But do you know what God did for him? God instantly, miraculously, and completely healed his son. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do more than you can even imagine. More than you can imagine. Whatever you think, maybe whatever it is that you're praying about, whatever the greatest possible outcome you can imagine is, God is able to do better than that. All you got to do is pray. Not only did God answer his prayer and give him more, but his faith became contagious and his whole house believed. Verse 53 said, so the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. It was Dr. Warren Wiersbe that commented on this man's faith and said it began as crisis faith. His son was about to die. He had no other resource. He was at a crisis moment. The crisis moment, the crisis faith became confident faith when he believed the words and peace filled his heart. His confident faith turned into confirmed faith when he met the servant. The servant testified that the boy was alive and was well. And his confirmed faith became contagious faith. He shared with the whole family what Jesus had done, and the whole family believed. When God answers your prayer, whatever the thing is that you're asking for, praying for, seeking, knocking about, when God answers that prayer, share it with someone else. Because your faith then can become their faith, and they can believe because of what God has done in your life. You know, we don't always understand when our son is sick, when our situation comes, when our storm comes. But you know what we do? We seek the Lord. We pray, we have faith, we trust Him. And then when God answers our prayer, we share that testimony with someone else because they may be going through the very thing that you just come through. And your testimony may be the thing that gives them the faith to make it in their situation. I'm done. Brother Scott, you get us a song. I don't know if there's someone here that has a need in their life. But if there is, I want to give you the opportunity to pray. And so for a few minutes, we're going to give an invitation. And as he sings, if you've got a need in your life, I encourage you to come. We want you to come and we'll help you pray.